Most important is that these are not clothes. They're historic images that are transcultural.
You have traveled the world, and you've collected fabrics, and you've collected stories and artwork to share with the people here.
Well, the fabrics I don't buy usually. They are made specifically for me.
Wow.
And that's a thing in itself. And I was brought up in a clothing family, and I don't consider my work clothing. If you want to use the word clothing, it's wearable art. But this is past that. This is historic stuff.
Uh-huh.
The one thing that isn't is the jean jacket, because that represents the United States of America in this transcultural world.
So how many countries are represented in this display?
I work in Peru, Bolivia, Ireland, Uzbekistan, Vietnam, China, and India. To me, clothing is ceremonial. It's the heartbeat of a culture. Mm-hmm. And we don't use those words today. And then people say, well, what do you wear it for? I say, well, when you get out of the shower or you answer the telephone or you're having a party in the garden, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You wear it when you feel you want to wear it. Mm-hmm. It's not for other people. It's for something inside of you. That's why I wait a long time to get a client. Like some of the prices to people who buy clothing say, oh, my God, $8,000, $15,000. Well, you don't sell those every day. If you worked 8 years on something and you charged $15,000 for it, that's not a lot of money for 8 years of work. And then to perfect it for the person that wants it is another year. So that's 9 years going into $15,000.
Wow.
So everyday clothes and clothing. People wear it all the time and they throw it away, you know. Mm-hmm. And skill and workmanship in ceremonial times. I mean, if a Chinese lady is getting married, she has to perfect a piece of needlework that is far superior to anybody else in her village. And that's a perfect example of creating historic clothing, which I call transcultural clothing. Because in our day, if you respond to it, you're being transferred into another culture that innately, somehow or other, you don't have to learn it, it is also you. And that's what keeps me going.
Wow.
Very simple.
And a few of these pieces you've loaned to the exhibition, but they are owned...
They're by collectors that have stayed with me through the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very grateful for them, for their taste level, for appreciating them. And to become a collector with me, you have to have three things. You have to love me, my work, and God, whatever that means to you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't respond to that, there's no relationship. Because this work is all about relationship. It's not about selling at all. It's not compensation. You don't look for a job in this. This is a lifetime of work that you don't think is work. It's something you love to do. If you go into an art gallery to buy a painting, you would never hear what I'm saying because there's no need. But when it comes to clothing, they all think I'm a visiting what I call a peeping Tom in other countries, where you look at something and you buy a little thing in the craft store and then you come back to where you live and you think it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So that's not what clothing means. It's ceremonial. It represents the culture that you're working in. So somehow or other, these clothes represent different cultures, which I've stated in the booklet. And what's interesting is that you could almost intermingle one cultural artwork to another cultural artwork. And actually, in my career, I have not found a response in this because the people I get connected with really don't want to do ceremonial clothes. They don't want to do ancient stuff. They want to do something that sells. So that's another hindrance. Because I need somebody to understand me, to be able to work with me, and vice versa, and that's a relationship. So that entails family, government, voting, health, all kinds of things, children, upbringing, you know, stuff like that. And that's what's marvelous about this. You get hooked, mm-hmm. and you can't get away from it.
Can we talk about one piece in particular, and just to learn a little bit about your process or details pertaining?
Well, I usually start at a point. Mm-hmm. I never know why I'm at that point or what it is even going to be. I just know inside my soul I want to have a vision. And it starts with a no vision. Eventually it becomes a vision. And the first vision that's executed is the key to another one happening in a sequence. So I have a whole sequence here of this work that you see here, which is applique work. And I had a studio in Uzbekistan where we only did this applique work. And that was hard to come by, but the lady and I got along very well after we got over the trauma of our first meeting. Because she said, "You have no technology." I said, "Absolutely not." So I said, "What are you?" She says, "Well, I love technology." So it seemed like maybe we'd never get together. But we did. Somehow or other, we crossed each other's hair and stayed still in our lives. We even bought a house together in Tashkent, which I didn't want to have a house in. I wanted to be in the southern part of Uzbekistan. And one month, I used to go 3 months there, 3 months in Aspen, 3 months there, 3 months in Aspen. And it was evident that we needed a really good workshop because we were working on the kitchen floor and she didn't even have a good pair of scissors to cut. So she raised her level 1,000 times working with me. And then we got the house, which should have been either in Bukhara or Samarkand. And I said, "Remember, that's what the money's for, Samarkand or Bukhara." So I couldn't wait to come back and see where the house would be, and guess where it was? It was in Tashkent, the one place I didn't want to be in. But we overcame that obstacle too. So that's what it's all about, relationship.
What does the word applique mean?
Well, it's putting one level on top of another level to whatever skill you have, and I try for the most unique, highest level of it because it's difficult to control. And Varya was working on the machine where I did all the handwork, which should have been the opposite if you came from America. You would be working machine, and this lady that's Uzbek and Korean would be doing the handwork, but she was terrible about handwork, mm-hmm. and I was terrible about machine work. So that's how we got together.
Well, let's look up close, maybe at the centerpiece. And
okay, this is the end of what I would call a beginning. This is the last piece I've done on applique. Uh-huh. And now the first piece I did was the lavender one here.
Wow.
And so this was, it grew from this piece, this is the last piece, from this piece to this piece, to this piece and the jackets. And the jackets in a series, somehow or other people understood them. Uh-huh. So I actually did sell them. Whatever here does not have a on loan from somebody is for sale, but mostly everything here is loaned from a collector for a certain length of time, and I've been getting calls about it already. And the show has another 2 weeks to go.
That's right.
People don't want to be parted with their stuff.
Wow.
So, and that's the fun part too, though, is that people really do love them for the right reason. And if they don't love it for the right reason, they will get to the right reason after a couple of years. Because people used to come into my shop in Aspen and never want to buy anything or talk about anything because they couldn't understand it. What is this? What is this place, they would say. I never saw a place like this. So I said, neither did I.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would come back 2 years later, being reminded about something in their spirit that made them come back. And I remember one lady that came in, and she was one of these, what I call, Gucci-poochie ladies, and she wanted to buy a necklace I had made. And I think it was a ridiculous price, like $15, I don't know, whatever it was. She said, oh, I would never spend that kind of money on that. And I said to her, well, I asked her what she did, and she didn't want to answer me. I said, well, you know, I respect communication to be authentic. And she left when she heard that. And I was hysterically crying. What did I open my big mouth for? Did I have a reason to insult somebody? Well, she came back at the end of the day and she said, you are right. I'm going to buy that piece. And she was an architect, a successful one. And you could see by her hairdo that was $300. And her nails, it cost whatever. And then I didn't see her for 2 years. And she came back and said, you have changed my life on the value of money.
Wow.
But, I mean, that only happened once in a lifetime. You don't always get a big thing like that happening. But it's often the people that somehow love this work have a connection to their mother that they somehow feel I'm a part of their mother, which is correct. Because a mother usually loves their children. And these are my children. So anyhow, it's always fun when that comes up. Well, you know, my mother used to wear pajamas when she went shopping. Of course, they were marvelous pajamas. So that is something I would do, definitely. So that's how a relationship can start. Or, you know, my mother loved making clothing. And they were always very different than anything else that's out there. So there is that thread, that connection, that clothing has a meaning. And it used to be actually not just for religious. It was to do something that's the best that comes out of your soul, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have people today that are doing that for a lifetime. They're going to get their master's, and then they're going to get at this and that, and we're going to get into a computer, whatever, and nobody ever does anything that they would really enjoy that's part of them. It's to get a certain sum of money called a salary.
Could you share about the joy of wearing a piece that you yourself have created?
Oh, I love that feeling. And sometimes I will wear it on a bus, hitchhiking. And I made this marvelous, marvelous, marvelous Russian broadtail coat. It had a great swing to it. And my friends would laugh at me, you're hitchhiking in that? And the person that would pick me up would also be a very interesting person. So I don't hitchhike anymore, though, but I used to a lot.
Wow. And what are you working on presently?
Right now, unexpectedly, because of this show, I had a commission to do a wedding for Italy. Wow. That's since I spoke with you.
Congratulations.
Well, it had to be done by today.
Oh, that's fast.
Four pieces, and one that was already made that they bought that I had already made. So that was five things that ordinarily would take me at least a year and a half. And I didn't think to say no. My automatic response was, all right. And in my soul, I thought, will I really be able to do this? And it was all finished by 10 o'clock this morning.
Wow.
I had not slept in 3 nights and 3 days. And it was picked up, and it will be going to Italy tomorrow.
Wow. For people who are inspired by your work and want to be in contact with you, what's the best way?
My cell phone, if they really want to be in contact with me, I give them little details on. If you're going to call me, you better say what you want or I delete it immediately. Mm-hmm. And I do send out to people cards. When I closed my shop in Aspen 2 years ago, everybody got a card. And a lot of people that came for the opening was a response to that. Mm. And every so often I get a phone call from somebody I hadn't heard from in 20 years. And then I think of somebody that's passed away or something like that. One day in Southampton, I had a beautiful studio there. I won't even go into a story about it, but there's a big story about that studio. And I was doing hand painting on chiffon in those days. And it was all about weather and birds and leaves and flowers. And a man came in who could hardly walk. And he said, I would like to have you make something for my wife. It's our 69th anniversary. I said, oh, that sounds interesting. I would like to meet her to see if I have a vision. Well, I showed him something that they both flipped over. And the way I work, because of the time, it's not the time. I don't care how long it takes. But anyway, there is an upfront thing. So I said, well, it's to be paid in full before I actually start on the project. And he looked at me, you know what he said? And at the time, I was in the 70s. And he looked like he was in the hundreds. Hmm. And he said, well, what would happen if you passed away? And it looked like he was going to drop any minute. So to me, that was the funniest thing that ever happened.
Oh, wow.
So anyhow, this is, I hope somebody can get messages out of it, mm-hmm. to do the best in the culture that you're born into. Because I never hear from people that I'm doing something I just can't stop doing because it isn't work. I just, how I lead my day. And that's called an artist. So people, if you say, I'm a clothing artist, they think you're painting on fabric. Well, maybe you would, but it may not be at all. Mm-hmm. But that's what they think. It's anything that happens to be put on the body or on the wall. Mm-hmm. And most people think of this type of ancient-looking, wonderful clothing is to be on the wall as a painting. But I do want the people to have the pleasure out of wearing it, not just look at it as an artifact. Mm-hmm. And that's why this piece means a lot to me, because when Connie met me, she was totally, absolutely not into what I was into. But there was something about the shop that made her keep coming back to it. And one day she said, I think I'm going to do a little piece, just a little one. So I didn't know her from anything. I was new in Aspen at the time. And she said, I'm on my way to the music festival. So she made a little teeny purchase, which was a little lace piece. And then she came back in 15 minutes, and she said, we're going to do it. And she told me, I have passed this window a lot, and I just was fascinated. So I indoctrinated her into the culture of Ireland. That's where it all began. And then she transposed herself also to all the other places as they came about, which I never looked for. It just, things happened.
Well, Itar, thank you so much.
It was fun.
I think I saw Jack wander in, and we're going to interview him.
Yeah, I want to show you something of his that I like.
Okay.
And yeah. I was so happy that he was the person in the other room because I loved his work.
Hey, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And there is a piece here that I like. And see if you can guess which one it is.
I'll sell it to you.
This one?
Nope.
Let me guess, too. The lady right there.
Nope.
How about the hands?
Nope. This is the one over here.
Oh, the woman emerging.
I like her because she's growing out of a cabbage.
That is beautiful.
So I like it very much. That would be, if I saw a whole room full of, not just like this, but that feeling would be definitely me.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Itar.
Well, it was nice talking with you.